So last week we did something, and just like we had last week, we have a couple of added verses that I mentioned this morning. We had a few verses added last week. This week we have a few from Numbers, and they are added to our regular Torah portion. Once again, this week we have that. So it's Numbers 9, verses 1 through 22. These are 22 verses, and they're dealing with the instructions of the purification involving the ashes of the red heifer. Parah Adumim. This Shabbat is called Shabbat Parah. And Parah Adumim refers to the red heifer. It's called Shabbat Parah this week because this is the Shabbat that is following the week after we had Purim. And this is the Shabbat that begins preparation for Passover. So once we finish Purim, now we are setting our sights on the next thing that's going to happen, and that is Passover. And so this is the time that we begin that preparation. So the portion from Numbers 19 is chosen because this is a special time to purify ourselves for preparation of Passover. And if you will read those verses when you go home, you'll see that it was part of the instructions for taking the ashes of the red heifer. And this is how the people and the priests, the high priests that would bring in the sacrifice, into the temple, they would be purified with the ashes, using the ashes of the red heifer. So in case some people may think that this is just a lot of religious ritual, let's say, that we're going to be going through in a few weeks. And people will look at this sometimes and say, oh, this is just religious ritual. It's not really necessary. And it's going to be, and I'm going to tell you what it's like, and that what is like is religious ritual, and that's, the Lent and the season of Lent that they have in the Catholic Church. That is ritual, religious ritual. But what we're going to talk about this morning is not, it's not really religious ritual, although it is tradition. It is not ritual, just religious ritual. And I say that because I want to take a few minutes to look at God's word and its progression for us as believers concerning this subject that I'm going to talk about here. Because it has become a tradition in Judaism for us to clean our houses immediately before Passover. And this has been a tradition in Judaism literally from the time of Moses. So it is a tradition, but it is based on the scriptures. And so it is, we are to get rid of things before Passover, what we call chametz, which really means sour in Hebrew, chametz, but we get rid of anything in the house that has wheat, that has yeast in it, or we also go around and we get rid of what we would call dust bunnies, the little thing, dust all over, the women know, dust bunnies. We clean the house. It's a time that we thoroughly clean the house and look at all of the foods that we have in the refrigerator and in the pantry, and if there's any wheat or yeast in them, we get rid of them. We don't have them in the house. And so this is directly based on scripture, and I like to remind people every year so that people just don't sort of, this is just a just a ritual thing that we don't really, you know, we shouldn't be concerned with. So let's go to Exodus 12, and we've got a couple of chapters and verses here, and we'll put this together. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. I'm going to stop here a little bit because I want to just emphasize certain things. First of all, it will be a memorial. So even after the event happened, the Exodus and the Passover, it's to be a memorial. You're supposed to do it, continue doing it, and remembering what God did. And it is a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, and you shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. And so even today, thousands of years later, it is kept as an ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leaven from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. For 7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses. Since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. Whether, and here is the key here, whether he is a stranger or a native of the land, you shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwellings you shall eat unleavened bread. Whether you are a stranger, the word ger, the ger were the strangers among the gates of Israel. And so whether you are a stranger or a native of the land, if you are a Jew, or you are a stranger that has become part of Israel. And if we are to apply that in our modern day terms, Gentiles that have accepted the Jewish God and the Jewish Messiah have come into the gates of Israel. Whether they acknowledge it or not, whether they like it or not, whether they accept it or not, that their Messiah was and is and will be a Jew. And he is the Messiah that came to Israel with a message of salvation and a way of salvation through his shed blood that would then be extended out to the nations. So all of you that are not born Jewish, that are believers in Messiah, you come into the category that you are a stranger that's known as a ger, plural gerim. You are strangers within the gates of Israel. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, said that you have been grafted in to Israel. And so you have been grafted in as a stranger within the gates of Israel. So these few verses are very important, not just to Jewish people, but to those that are believers in Messiah and lovers of God and Messiah. And by the way, that's how the world gets spring cleaning, because it was something that was handed down generation after generation, and the world even grabbed onto this thing, and spring cleaning is a good time to go through your home and clean it up and get everything in the corners and everything out of the way. And so that's how come, that's really why the world has spring cleaning today. Yeshua did some house cleaning on his own. It's common knowledge. Most people are aware of it, but I want to just talk about this for a few minutes this morning, because it was right before Passover. And so Yeshua, being an observant Jew, a good Jewish man, and yet at the same time God, he did some cleaning of his house. So let's go to the book of John, Yochanan 2, verses 13, 14, 15, 16. Now the Passover was at hand, and Yeshua went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. And when he had made a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned their tables. And he said to those who sold doves, Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. And so what he was doing here was he was preparing his father's house for Passover by cleaning out some dust bunnies. And so again, you know, I know a lot of times as believers we think, oh, we're supposed to be so meek and loving and let's not raise our voices. And Yeshua, he made a whip of cords and he went in there and he started whipping the heck out of them to drive them out, and he overturned their tables. You know, sometimes we need to have some oomph behind. That's alpha male and females. Alpha believers. All right? And so, all throughout the scriptures, whether it's the Torah or the entire Tanakh or the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, sin is always symbolized as chametz. Or let's say that chametz, when we see that coming in here, the leaven is symbolized as sin. We see it in stories, we see it in parables, we see it in commandments from the Lord. And again, whether it's in the Torah or the entire Tanakh, the Old Testament, or even, and we see instances in the New Testament, in the Brit Hadashah. And so we need to know that leaven symbolizes sin. And this was one of the things that God was trying to show Israel, that there is this progression of getting sin out of your lives and being, if I'll use the term, saved by the blood of the Lamb. He was showing them back then that there was a connection. And here Yeshua was ridding his house of the sin that was being practiced within it. And you know, it wasn't just a specific kind of sin. There were a couple of things that were going on that if we look at the entire picture, we see when you put these things together. So let's look at Mark. It's sort of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. It's another way of looking at the same scenario, but in a little bit different way. And so this is what we read. And so they came to Jerusalem again about Yeshua coming in right before Passover. And then Yeshua went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And then he taught, saying to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." Is it not written? Question. My house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. So now will we see one of the things that actually Yeshua spoke to them and said to them. And note here, now we see that this was before it was called the house, you know, the Father's house. It was the temple of God. And now Yeshua says it's my house. So anyone that will ever say to you, you know, well, where did he ever say that he was God? This is just one instance that he puts God the Father and God and himself all in the same category, because we know that Messiah is God in the flesh. So two things were essential when people were coming. They were coming in from all areas into Jerusalem for Passover because it was such a special time. And so they would travel there and they would want to come to worship at the temple. And so there were a few things that they would want and need. The first is that they would need an animal that was a correct animal, didn't have any blemishes, and they would have to bring an animal. And the second thing was they would want to give coins to give as an offering when they went to the temple. And so these sellers, obviously they were charging outrageous amounts for both the animals for sacrifice or money changers they were changing. And why were they changing money? Because they were telling people that you needed temple coins. You needed special coins, maybe coins that were blessed. You know, even today in Orthodox Judaism, people, you know, they thought, oh, the rabbis blessed this, the rabbis blessed that. Listen, I can't bless something that you have, like coins or whatever. It's not going to be holy, holy, holy stuff just because I've done that. But this is what was going on. Oh, you want temple coins? It's going to cost you. You want an animal to sacrifice? That is a special animal, it's going to cost you. And so these people were overcharging for the approved animals or for the special temple coins. It was legal to sell these items for people that were traveling in, let's say, you know, and they wouldn't be traveling with animals, so they would get an animal before they went into the temple. It's true, it was legal for the items, but it is the way that the sellers were ripping the people off that really was illegal and immoral. Not necessarily illegal what they were doing in certain areas, but it was certainly immoral. And so this is the reason that Yeshua got so furious with what was going on. People wanted to, in their hearts, bring offerings, as they said, give from your heart. They wanted to bring from their heart. And these people were taking advantage of the people, their faithfulness to give at the temple. So let's go to Psalm 51 here, and it's only one verse, and then we'll move on. David, King David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. A cry by David. But if we look at this is what we're going to see here. He says, renew a spirit within me. Renew a steadfast spirit in me. Do not take your spirit, your ruach, from me. In other words, David was a man that had the Spirit of God in him. And David was a man who loved the Lord. But because of David, because of things that he did in his life, there were areas that he fell into sin. And so this is why he was saying, renew that spirit within me and create in me this clean heart. So the point here is that David was not a lost man. David, if I'm going to use the term, in those days, he would be known, as we know, as a saved man, because he did what God would want him to do, and he brought the sacrifices to the temple, and he was observant in the ways of that God had given the Jewish people to have a relationship with God. And so David was not a lost man, we need to realize. But David needed to clean up his house. Now, why do I say that? Because if all of us are sitting here today and go, well, we don't need to clean up. We've accepted the Lord. We've accepted the blood atonement. We've accepted Yeshua as our personal Savior, as our Messiah. We know that we have everlasting life through Yeshua. We don't need to clean up our houses. It's wrong. I'm showing you that we need sometimes, and many times, we need to renew that steadfast spirit in us. Many times we need to do that, and we need to clean up our hearts. We need to do that. None of us can say, we don't need it, Lord. We don't need it. What we got and what we do and the way we live, it's good enough. We don't need that. But this is, so David needed to clean house. Since we're talking about cleaning houses this morning. So let's go back to the Brit Hadashah in the New Testament. Let's go. This is what Yeshua said, Luke 12, 1. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, listen, at this time, there were a lot, there were thousands and thousands of people that wanted to hear Yeshua. They wanted to hear his teaching. They wanted to hear what he had to teach us. And so they trampled one another, and Yeshua began to say to his disciples there. So these are people that were believers. Most of them were believers in Yeshua. They had accepted him as this great, great man. And so he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Again, this sort of goes with what I just said a couple of minutes ago. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Remember, leaven always signifies sin in the scriptures. So basically saying, beware of the sin of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Why? Because these leaders, these Jewish leaders, would do one thing, they would say one thing, and they would do another. That was a major part of their sin. Now, unfortunately, and I say unfortunately, not listening to or avoiding Jewish leaders, even today, if we're going to put this in our modern times here, or traditional rabbis, Jewish leaders today. This is really what Yeshua is talking about. And so it's an unfortunate thing that not listening to or avoiding their teachings does not mean, as some people would interpret, that we are supposed to avoid or turn away from Judaism. It's hard for me to put these things, but so this is why I'm hesitating here, because I want to explain this. Yeshua is saying, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Sometimes people will interpret this and they will say, Judaism is not a good religion. See? Judaism, you shouldn't be following Judaism. Because what Yeshua said, the Pharisees are hypocrites, and the leaders of Judaism were hypocrites. Even if today there is some hypocrisy in Judaism, we have to separate Judaism. There is a great difference between what I would say God's biblical Judaism, the Judaism that God gave Israel, that was to be Judaism and remain Judaism and was really not supposed to change very often. It was to remain what God gave the Jewish people and what God gave Israel. It should not have changed. But Judaism did change. And it changed quite a bit to what we have today. And so there's this great difference between God's biblical Judaism, it's the only way for me to explain it, and what today I will term as rabbinic Judaism. It's Judaism that it has similarities to the Judaism of 2,000 plus years ago, but there are many things that are not the same, because it has become a Judaism that has been controlled and created by the Jewish leaders and the rabbis. many of them fitting into this category that Yeshua spoke of. So there are two differences, but the problem is, today it's too easy for people to say, Judaism, run away from it. You shouldn't have it. There are some people that will tell you the Old Testament is dead. Just read the New Testament. They're not taking into account that God's Judaism is different than the rabbi's Judaism. And so, the only two things that I could think of in this is by people getting out of Judaism, not having anything to do with Judaism because of this. The only thing is, it's cutting off your nose to spite your face, or throwing away the baby with the bathwater. I guess the only way, you see, so people have done this, even in the believing world, even in Messianic Judaism, some people have done this. They don't want, they try to cut Judaism out of, as much as they can out of their life, because they're looking at their Judaism through the lenses of rabbinic Judaism. They need to go back and see, what did God want Judaism to be? That Judaism is a great Judaism. It's a wonderful Judaism. It's the Judaism that God gave the Jewish people. And it was never to be changed. But unfortunately, it was changed. And that is a whole other story of what happened. And I'm not going to talk about this morning. Okay, so let's go back into the Brit Hadashah, Galatians and 1 Corinthians. I got a couple of scriptures here. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. This is what Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, wrote to the Galatians. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And then he developed this a little bit more to his letter to the 1 Corinthians. And he says, your glory is not good, Corinthians. In other words, you're having some problems in your lives here. You're coming to understand who Yeshua is, but you're having some problems, and you need to deal with these things. Your glory is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens a whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Messiah, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And so he's teaching, listen, you know how people say, well, there's always a rotten apple in the bunch. What he's saying is get rid of the rotten apple. Or hopefully that rotten apple is going to change. But if that rotten apple doesn't change, get him out. Because a little leaven leavens the whole bunch. And so, I guess going back to my things that I talked a couple of weeks ago, if there are people that are a little leaven in this lump here, they're going to sour the whole bunch eventually if you let them to stay here. Okay? And so, Shaul knew this was a problem in the Gentile communities that he was teaching at. But not only do we see the biblical New Testament of the importance of cleaning our inner homes, so to speak, our home here, and even in our hearts, but it also shows that Shaul was teaching the Gentile believers, the importance of observing God's feasts. Anyone, and I know this is said so much, we don't need to do that Jewish stuff anymore. We don't need to do those things. We're freed from the law. They use those. We're not under the law. They use all those things, right? But what we're seeing here is, how in the world did the Corinthians know what he was talking about unless he taught them to celebrate the Feast of Passover? How would they know? How would they know when he starts talking about the leaven and the lump of the leaven, and let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, but with leaven, nor with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth? How would they know what that even meant? What do you mean unleavened bread, matzah? What do you mean celebrate Passover? What do you mean the leaven, getting the leaven out for Passover? What are you talking about? Because he taught them. He taught them, if you are believers in Messiah, you are grafted into Israel, and you are commanded by God, as we read up in the beginning, as a stranger with the native, you are commanded to celebrate that feast. And so don't let anyone ever tell you that what you're doing, because I know that there are people here, some of you that aren't born Jewish, you hear it from your families, you hear it from your friends. What do you think, you're Jewish now? And you're laughing because it's true, isn't it? Oh, what do you think, you're Jewish now? What are you doing that stuff? We don't have to do that. Why are you in a Messianic synagogue? So many things. Right now, don't get me started. But this is it. He was teaching. So, are we to say Shaul was wrong? The Apostle Paul was wrong in what he was doing? Commanded by God to do this? You see? So you need to know, what you're doing is what God wants you to do. All of us together. The stranger and the native born. We're all together here. And this is what we do every year. Because God commands it. The body of believers, as we know, is the church. They should have always done that. But they stopped doing it.